came in honor of the new Mazik? You came in the honor of the new Mazik? Okay, we'll start the new Mishnah. All of a sudden, last night before we started the new Mishnah, it still bothers me that Rambam that we just left as Eino Muvan. So I figure, you know, I'm smarter than everyone else. I'll just look in Perish HaMishnayos of the Rambam. Probably there's a hint there that would help us with the Rambam. But all he points out over there is that a Dlil is a Chut. that I think we could have figured out from the Rambam itself. Okay. This Seder. So, Yitzhak, when we meet the Rambam in Olam HaEmes, the first question we'll ask him is to explain what's going on. Okay. Masnisen. Ketzat Hashem Mu'edes Le'echol Asaroilo Ha'behema Mu'edes Le'echol Peros V'yirakot. What did we see in the Gemara Daf Yud Zayin Amadeis? How do we understand over here the Yitur and the Mishnah? Nachon, that's what the Gemara says, that the Ketzat Shein Mu'edes is Shein of Achaya, and the Ketzat Behema Mu'edes is the Shein of a Behema. We would have a Hava Mino, that the Shein of Achaya would be a Tolda and not an Av. Kamash Malam, the Mishnah, that it's considered to be an Av. Achla Ksuso Kelim Mishalim Chatzi Nezek. What kind of halacha is this? In other words, namely that we're going to limit shein to foods that are considered to be davar haroila. That's as you pointed out, a level of urche. And if we go beyond that, then we move over into the world of katzinezek, of mishuna. The medru amur b'shus hanizak o b'shus harabim patur. What over here is the machlokas between the Rif and the Rosh? We saw the first section of the Rosh on the Perek. He pointed out that the Rif gives a svara, the urcheu, right? In other words, that since the animal has the right to be in the Rishus HaRabim, one could not expect the Bailim to simply walk all the time along, and that's the source of the Ptur. What does the Rosh point out? That we have a pasuk. If it's a svara or a pasuk,
the plank.
Okay, said there. In other words, if we're dealing with a regel in Rishus HaRabim and the nezek is occurring in Rishus HaYachid, according to the Rosh, we have the gzeras hakas of biyur v'steyacher. According to the Rif, b'chozot, we have the svara of Urchehu that would give us a tour. Okay, and then the Mishnah moves over into an area. So up to this point, we've seen these halachas. Then the Mishnah moves over into a new world of im nehenes meshalem es mashenenes. Here we'll hold off until we get to the sugyos in the Gemara relating to the tashlumen. Okay, let's just fill in before we see the Gemara. What else do we know about shein? That shein is defined as yesh hanoa lehezeko. The Av is Achila and Shia, both of a Behema and a Chaya. What are the toldos of Shein? Let's start off with the Yerushalmi. What is the told of Shein according to the Yerushalmi? What's the closest we can get to Achila v'Shia?
Sicha,
right. In other words, the animal walks over a note of Shemen and anoints itself, does a massage with the Shemen. And it appears from the Yerushalmi that dafka that is the tolda as opposed to the toldas of the Av. What's unique about that tolda? It's a different act, but either we'll say that sika kishtia, in other words, we have over here that it really is shtia, or even if sika lav kishtia, but as you pointed out, it's ingested in the body. It's as close as we can get to shtia. That would be the Av. Mashen came the Bavli expands it also to the world of Niskachacha Bekosel and the world of Tinfa Peros, that as long as we have a world of Hana'a, even not ingested, even external Hana'a, that's still considered to be Shein. What did we see in Rashi about Tinfa Peros? What Hecha Timsa does he raise and shoot down? That perhaps the Tinfa Peros would be Hitil Glolim, that he has, the animal has a stomachache, and Hatalas Glolim, and that would be the Tolda of shame. And Rashi rejects it. Why?
There is
Hana'a, but
the
Hana'a and the Dover Hanizuk are not at all connected. And so therefore, we're only going to speak about the world of Hana'a when there's a connection between the Hana'a and the Maisa Hezek, direct connection. Okay, what other dinim of shame did we have? We had two psukim of shame that the Gemara learns for Machalya Karna and Lo Machalya Karna. And then we had a Machokis Rishonim. How do we define the biting of a snake? What did Tosfos point out on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph? How do we view a snake bite?
First,
Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. Tosfos puts it under Keren. It's a Maisa Nezek, in other words, per se. Tosfos on Daf Tetzayin Amud Aleph.
Regel.
That's the Urche of the Nachash. And the Rashba on Daf Beis Amud Beis?
Shame.
Right? That according to the Rashba, if the animal is biting and gets Hana'a from the biting, even if it's not connected with Achila, that's also considered to be a Tolda of shame. Biting for the purpose of Hana'a. I think that's pretty much what we saw. Berach, al regalachas, or al sheinachas, in terms of shame. Okay, let's move over to the Gemara over here. What's added by the Gemara? Tana Rabbanan Hashem Mu'ed Es Lechol Es Haro'ila Keitzad Nichnasa Behem Al Chatzar Hanizek V'Acha Ochen Haru'in La V'Shasas Amash Haru'in La Meshalem Nezek Shalem Adkan, that's the Mishnah. V'chein Chaya Shenichnasa Al Chatzar Hanizek V'Tarfa Behema V'Ach Labasar Meshalem Nezek Shalem. This Gemara has a parallel sugya on Daf Tetzayin Amud Beis by the Ari, right, by the lion, that if Dorsa V'Achla in Rishus Harabim, it's Patur. And Hu Hadin, the Rambam, Chaya Shenichnas Al Rishus Hanizak V'Tarfa V'Achla Behema V'Basar Meshalem Nezek Shalem, Shezohi Darka, Mashma, that in Rishus Harabim, Patur. Tosun on Daf Tetzayin Amud Aleph also points out by the Nachash, that when we're dealing with Shein or Regel v'Rishus Harabim, even of a Chaya, Patur. What over here? Why am I stressing that this is, is brought down, taken for granted by the Gemara and taken for granted by the Rishonim? We don't find anyone who disagrees, but L'chora, this should be totally in what issue? The Ptur of Rishus Harabim. We saw Machokas, the Rif, and the Rush. According to whom does this fit in? It's fine, and according to whom can we raise our eyebrows?
Rush, it makes sense. Right?
According to the Rush, it's not a question of making sense, it's Xeras HaKasav. We have Xeras HaKasav, Bir V'Steyacher, that there's no shame in Rishus Harabim. However, according to the Rif, that the issue is what has permission to walk in Rishus Harabim. Here we have a tremendous chiddush, right? that even the Chaya has permission to walk in Rishus Harabim. That a person has a pet lion or a pet tiger, there's no problem of us taking him for a walk in Rishus Harabim. And if it eats fruits, let the owner beware. In other words, everyone understands that that lions and tigers can be dores basar. If it eats up a cat, right, it eats up your dog, then you're pater, because that's urche. It's l'chora chiddush. Xeris HaKasav, Xeris HaKasav. But to have a svara that a behema has rishus to walk in rishus harabim, that we can understand. But to say that it's so obvious that a chaya walking rishus harabim can be toref and will be pater, that's a bit of a chiddush. I mean, my humble opinion.
Also, it seems like not the shot of the mission over there in the end of the first part. But all the animals doing more of the olam. It's like what exactly? Sounds like you're not supposed to walk around with your lion on a leash.
Nachon. Okay. So then, again, if we have gzeras hakasev, but beyond gzeras hakasev, lechora, b'met this tzarachi and how it's supposed to work out. Okay. I mean, so what one would simply say is that according to the Rif Barer, we have a gzeras hakasev, that the Rif is simply giving a taima dekra. But even when the taima dekra doesn't apply, in other words, there's really no machlokes between the Rif and the Rush, and not, there's not the nafkamina that the Rush offered, that clearly the Rif has to hold a gzeras hakasev, otherwise this gemara would be very difficult. And we'll see a little later on how that will help us learning Ilfa. Okay, let's continue. Para she'achla se'orim v'chamor she'achla karshinin v'kelev she'likek es ha'shemen v'chazir she'achal chaticha shel botzar mishalem nezek shalem. What's the common denominator of all of these examples? What does the Gemara say in a minute? That these are not the norm of their eating, right? That this is usually the only things that are eaten ayadei atchak. Amar Rav Papa, Hasha de Amris, Kol Midi de Lav Urche, Ve'ol Chalei Al Dei Hatchak, Shmei Achila, so let's continue the list. Hashinra de Achal Tamre, Ve'chamra de Achal Benisa, Mishalem, Nezek Shalem. What does Rashi point out over here? Rashi Ramaskal Achila, Ayadei Hatchak, Shmei Achila.
There is a circumstance.
No, Rashi continues, Afilu, Shalom Ayadei Hatchak. Namely, that we are broadening our definition of ochel to include that which is eaten ayadei hatchak, even if it's not currently being eaten ayadei hatchak. It's still considered to be a maisa achila in the world of nezikin. And here the Rishonim are bothered. This is a machlokas tan amorayim. This is a machlokas Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish in which mesefta. Shabbos on the Chayin Vav. In other words, in terms of determining the shear hotza'ah, is that in which an animal would tend to eat as a course of food. And the question is, can we take into account foods that animals eat as giving us the shear achila? And that's Machlokas Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Over here, it appears to be clear to the Gemara that Achila Edei Atchak, Shemei Achila. What do both Tosfos and Shabbos and the Rashbai us posit? Which of these Gemaras is the rule, and which of these Gemaras is the exception? Let's read together. The Rashba, Achila ayadei atchak shmei achila, afilu laman damar perek al gadol lo shmei achila, hanemiru yin hotza'a, debi'inan midi dechoshiv, umitzne e leila achila, avo kol de lo achile eladei atchak, lo mitzne le lo chashiva achila, avo mikoma komi achle lav mishunehu. Similarly, Tosos in Shabbos, hadar perek ketzer a regal achila de atchak shma achila, Hani mile linyan nezikin dolo chashvinin le meshune, avol laach shuva linyan Shabbos lo chashiva achila. If we just take again, I agree that Tosfos could be read in two directions. But what would be the, if we want to say Tosfos and the Rashba are saying the same thing? What is the rule and what is the exception?
The exception is nezikin.
The exception I would have learned. In other words, what it appears to me is like B'nayahu is pointing out, that what they're saying is that Nachon, Achila Ayadei Atchak is Achila, but in Shabbos we have a unique principle of Moleches Machsheves. It's not enough to have an Achila, you need an Achila Chashuva. Right? And in Shabbos we're going to bring in the concept of Chashuv into the world of defining the Avos Nezikin, and into the world of defining the shiurim. And so, in Achinami, an achila ayadei atchak is an achila, but it's not an achila chashuva. And when we're dealing with Shabbos, it's an achila chashuva. Again, afilu leman damar perek agadol lo shmei achila haynu linyan hotza debin an midi dechoshiv umitznu leila achila. You need a level of chashivus, something that would be set aside everyone would understand that this is going to be the prime ochel. Avol kol d'lo achile ayde etchak lo mitznele d'lo chashiva achila. That's not an achila chashuva. It may be an achila, but not an achila chashuva. Mikom akom I achile lav meshunahi. In other words, it's not. It's an achila. It's not meshuna, but it's not chashuv. I think that you're correct in terms perhaps of Tosfos. That Tosfos says Hane Mila Nezikin. How could you distinguish Pum Faker and say that Shabbos would be the rule? In other words, that maybe really you require that maybe generally Achila Ayadei Atchak is not an Achila, but Nezikin would be the exception. How would you say Nezikin is? Why would Nezikin be an exception?
Nezek, and it's a normal
nezek. A little sharper. How do we define shame? Yesh hanoa lehezeko. An example of hanoa is achila. Namely, that if we're working off of, we need an achila. In other words, in terms of being mishaer, how much food you're allowed to carry, we need an ochel. So then, an ochel yedei atchak, b'chol atarakul would not be an ochel. However, in the Zikin, where we're not concerned with achila qua achila, we're concerned with hana'ah. And our question is achila ayde atchak a hana'ah? Yeah, it's a hana'ah. Namely, that we're dealing with a different category. We're dealing with the category of hana'ah. My nafgamina, in other words, whether we view Shabbos as the exception or whether we're going to view the Zikin as the exception. What about other realms where achila is important? Which definition are we going to use? What's going to be our model? What's our model? In other words, is our model that the world of Nezikin, because Shabbos is an exception of an Achila Chashuva, or is our model Shabbos and Nezikin is the exception because we have, it's a world of Hanah as opposed to a world of Achila? For example, in the world of Bishul Akum, that which is eaten raw, there's no Iser of Bishul Akum. Bishul Akum is only on that which is not eaten raw. What if something is eaten raw? Ayadei Atchak. Egg. An egg. What?
The Shulchan Aruch says that is
from Bishul
Akum.
That's a machokes, right? In other words, but in the Shulchan Aruch it appears that even an Achila Ayadei Atchak would be considered to be, it would be Eno Ne'echal. Right? Achila de Atak is Eno Ne'echal, namely using the standard of Shabbos.
Right.
In other words, viewing Shabbos as the rule. Okay. There's a Mishnah of Peah, that there are a number of conditions for agricultural produce to be Chayav in Peah. One of them is it has to be an Ochel. The other has to be Nishmar, etc. There are all sorts of conditions. What about that which is eaten Ayadei Hadachak? Namely, you have certain bushes, with berries that people would only eat ayadei atchak. So that's a machlokes in the Mishnayos, you know, where it's the Mishnayos deals with things that have thorns, right? They have to pick off the thorns. They'd be eaten ayadei atchak. Or trumos and maestros. Also, you have conditions. One of them is that it be an ochel. What if it's ne'echal ayadei atchak? Or moving to a different realm, not only in Zerayim, but also in the realm of Taharos. What about Tumas Ochlim? Is that which is Ne'echal Ayedei Hatchak Tamei Tumas Ochlim? Those who are learning Daf Yomi, so this is a very real issue in terms of Nevelos and Trefos, etc. That which is eaten Ayedei Hatchak, is that Metamei Tumas Ochlim? That's a Gemara Nida on Daf Nun. Namely, all of these Sugyos, the Cholera, the question is, what is our role model? Where are we starting from? Okay, so it's not clear. One could learn in either direction. Tov, let's continue.
Yeah, just one.
Yes?
Are we inferring when the first assumption we had, the rule is that Achila Yedei Atchak is called Achila, that's based off that Tosfos and Shabbos says Chashiva, and that has to be Chashiv?
Now, Chashiva means that that Achila Yedei Atchak, I'm sorry, would be Achila.
Right.
However, in Shabbos, we have another condition of chashuv. We have an additional condition. It's not enough that it be an ochel. It has to be an ochel chashuv to be used as the standard in terms of the size, the volume. That on Shabbos, you only chayev if you take out a certain volume. So the volume of that which is eaten by man would be a kazayas. That's a classic maisachig of an individual. By a para, it would be, it's the fill a pipara with tfua. But what about otza? What about camel food for a para? Could that be considered to be the standard? That's the machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish, where the para, b'shas hatakav, it's very, very hungry, would eat camel food. But it's not the norm of a para to eat camel food. Can we use that as the shear? Okay?
That's based
on the last because, that maybe really ochel de atchak is considered to be ochel, like we see over here in the Zikin. But in Shabbos, we need a higher standard of Melechas Machshevas, of Davar Chashuv. Okay, moving to the next darga, the next story of shame. Hahu chamra da'achal nahama upalse le sala. Hahu chamra da'achal nahama upalse le sala. Chiyve. Rav Yehuda l'shalem nezik shalem anahama v'asala chatzi nezik v'amai kevan de'urche l'meichal nahama urche name l'psule sala. And so the Gemara assumes that you should have what level of payment on the sal? Nezik shalem de'ochal v'hadar palas. Okay? And then the Gemara simply has a side issue as to whether bread is considered to be urche. But assuming that bread is urche, then were you to eat the sal along with the bread, there would be nezek shalem on the sal as well. So let's just move over to the top of the Chaf HaMad Aleph where we have a parallel phrase. Hahu barcha, we have this goat, the chaza lifta, who saw a turnip apuma dedana on top of a barrel, Sarich salik achal lifta. It jumped up on top of the barrel to eat the turnip. V'tavre ledana, and it broke the barrel. Chive rava alifta v'adana nezek shalem. My taima kevan de urche lemecha lifta urche name lesruche ulemislak. Period. Are these two gemaras again? We have the same. The same idiom of kevan de urche, where it's to do X, kach urche to do Y. But are these two gemaras really saying the same thing, or do we have over here two very, very different halachas? Let's start off with the Gemara New Testament base. Kevan de urche lemechal nahama, urche name lepruse sala. What is the Gemara telling us over here? What is, if you want to put this into a conceptual rule?
It seems like the moment that the animal goes to eat, everything involved with that is going to be chayav also.
In other words, we are expanding the act of eating. In other words, that once the act of eating is dealing with that which is ro'ila, so then we view the act of eating, that which is not ro'ila, which normally would be meshuna chatzi nezek, we view it as one act. We have one act of eating. And if this is considered to be ro'ila in its essence, even the periphery would have a din of ro'ila. Correct? Masha'en kein andaf chafa med alef. What over there are we saying? Is the barrel being eaten?
No.
So what is the kevan de urche? We're not dealing over here with expanding an act of eating. What are we dealing with?
Painting anything the animal does to get to the food as normal because it's involved with food.
In other words, that if, in the process of eating, the animal does ancillary damage, so we're going to say that since the act of eating is urche, the ancillary damage is also urche.
Is that shame or
regal? Exactly. That's the difference between these two gemaras. In other words, both of them are chayav nezek shalem. In other words, the on the New Testament base were chayav nezek shalem on the eating of the basket. On the chafim and aleph were chayav nezek shalem on the breaking of the barrel. But lechora, Benaiah was 100% correct. And if you test him at base, we're dealing with an extended Maisa Achila. That's Shane. Masha'ein Kane. And if Chafa Med Aleph, what we're dealing is extending the definition of Urche. And we're saying that the breaking of the barrel, normally jumping on a barrel would be Keren, but if the animal's jumping on the barrel in order to eat, that's called Regel. The animals will jump in order to eat. Okay? In other words, that these are two, again, we have the Kevan de Urche. In both of them, we have a parallel payment of Nezek Shalem, but conceptually, these are two different worlds. Yes, Yaakov?
Can we make a chilek, though, if the animal jumped on top of the barrel and started eating whatever was on top, and in the process destroyed the barrel, versus the animal destroys the barrel first in order to get the food to fall? I mean, is there a difference between...
According to the way we're understanding it, in other words, if in the course of eating, and eating is a process, right? In other words, in the course of the process of eating, there is damage, which has nothing to do with the eating per se, that damage is considered to be urche, because the motivation is urche. The motivation of this animal to jump on the barrow is in order to eat. Animals, that's urche for animals to eat. And so l'cha'ora, over here, let's just give examples of what we've seen previously. Did we see previously in the Gemara an example of an expanded achila, adaf yud tesim adays? In other words, here we're saying that when you're chayev on the bread, you're chayev also for eating the basket. Did we have that previously in the Gemara, in a different Gilgul, but the same principle? Yeah.
Maybe you wanted to say that when chicken.
No. Think for a moment. No. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, a chicken. But which chicken? What's chicken doing? Aside from crossing the street.
What's the screaming chicken?
No.
Not the screaming chicken.
The pecking chicken. Who
broke the rope?
The rope. Nachon. When you had the rope that was ma'us with Lisha. Right? When you had the rope that was Moos with Lisha, and the chicken is trying to eat the food which is on the rope, and what does it do? It breaks. What?
The rope breaks.
The rope, in other words, is being pecked as well. In other words, the pecking over there is considered to be part of the broader Mais Achila. Namely, what Malacha would be involved in, what Malacha? What Av Mazik would be involved, in pecking the rope? Shame. That would be shame. Namely, just like here we have bread in a basket, there you have food that's between the strands of the rope. And so that would be shame. Now, move over to what David pointed out. Did we have a previous role model for the world of ancillary damage? That we say that when the animal is in the process of eating and breaks something, then we view that as normal? That would be the screams of the cacking of the rooster, right? That when the rooster makes noise because it's trying to get to the food, that's like the goat jumping on the barrel, right? That would be regular. And that was the context, right? In other words, that andaf yud chesamid aleph by the world of the. It's Gemara asks v'achevel meshunehu demous belisha, demous belisha. That's an example of the first orche of the New Testament base, Daf Yud Tesamid Aleph. When we point out with Gemara asks v'meshune and the answers the Islay Bazrenei, that would be an example of Daf Chafamid Aleph, right? I would agree with you in all of those, except that we have one Rishon who learns a little differently. Look at the Me'iri. Tarnagolin hayu menakrin bechevel hadli, ad shehechlishu es kocho, v'achar kach nifsak hachevel lekoved hadli, v'nishbar hadli, im haya hachevel koruch belisha, hareze darko, v'chayev nezek shalem, me told us regel al hachevel. Namely, what is the Me'iri doing over here? What is he pointing out? that he is learning these two orches as one din, right? In other words, that they're both telling us that whenever we have ancillary damage, irrelevant if we're eating a basket, like on Daf Yutesim a days, or if we are breaking a barrel, that's going to be regal. That ancillary damage is going to be regal, just like Ma'us Belisha is going to be regal. Namely, we pointed out, L'chara, you have two halachos. You have a halacha of an extension of shame, where we expand the Maisa Achila, and you have a halacha that we're going to give the standard of Urche, even to the Maisa Nezek, if it's being brought about by a desire to eat. According to the Me'iri, this is all one. In other words, any ancillary damage, be it in the course of eating, before the eating, during the, in other words, all that ancillary damage would be regel. The chiddush is that it's not mashuna. That's all. It's not mashuna. We don't necessarily have a broadened category of shame. Normally, eating a kli is mashuna. If you're eating the kli to get at the food, we would have said that's shame. The Me'iri says that's regel. Okay? In other words, that it's not mashuna. You're eating the kli. It's just that it's not defined as mishuna. Okay, so be aware of the Me'iri. Tov. Okay, let's continue. Seder?
Is the Me'iri saying the achar kaf though? Meaning you ate the, you ate it and then the animal. Meaning I think we would say that if the animal eats the what it wants to eat and then afterwards destroys the kli, that seems like why Rabbi Yehuda had to say the achar mahadar.
The Me'iri is pointing out that, no. In other words, we're dealing with two issues. We're dealing with the Cheva and we're dealing with the Dli. So the Dli falls afterwards, and that's going to be considered to be Tsroros. The Chevel is being eaten parallel to the Ma'us Belisha, as the animal is eating that which is Ma'us Belisha, it's also breaking the Chevel. In other words, it's happening simultaneously. But he says, even though it's happening simultaneously, that's considered to be regel. Namely, that we view it as regel as opposed to Karen. Not Shane as opposed to Karen, but regel as opposed to Karen. In other words, had you had just a regular rope and the animal pecked at it, that would have been Karen. When you have a rope which is full of food, so according to conventional wisdom, that would be Shane. Like the psora of the Nahama. But the Me'iri understands, no, this is all one extended halacha. That's why you have the same phraseology of kevan de orche, kach orche. In other words, orche nami. In other words, that it's all one din, that the ancillary damage is not considered to be mashuna, it's considered to be orche of rego. Tov. Let's go back to the Gemara that we skipped in the middle. The Gemara asked, is it really urche for animals to eat bread? Upas urchehu uraminu achla pasu basar v'tavshil mashale chatzi nezek, that passes human food. Tavshil is human food. And for an animal to eat human food, that would be chatzi nezek. So the Gemara answers, my lav b'behema. Gemara answers, lo bechaya, that for a domesticated animal to eat human food, that's normal. For an undomesticated, for a wild animal to eat human food, that's not natural. Gemara says, ma chayav basar orcheyu. In other words, you're going to say that eating meat is not natural for a wild animal, that's its staple. So Gemara answers, three answers. One is the matve, that we're talking about meat that has been roasted. The animals eat raw meat. Iboy sema vitavia. We have animals like the tzvi that are very, very gentle animals, and they don't eat meat. They eat only vegetables and things that grow from the ground. They don't eat meat or bread. Iboy sema lo olam vibehema ubipisora. How does Rashi understand ube pesora?
On a table.
Ube pesora on a table. Al hashulchan achalo she'ein darko bekach. That when an animal eats something which is its normal food, but in a place which is unusual, what are we saying? What's going to be the halacha? That we're going to view the eating as mishuneh. Right? The table over here didn't break. You're just dealing with one maisa nezek. We're dealing over here with the eating of bread. Had that same bread been eaten on the ground, that would have been nezek shalem of shame. When the bread is eaten on the table, then we have chatzi nezek of keren. That's considered to be mishuneh. That's mishuneh. What are we learning over here from Rashi? That when we want to distinguish between shein and keren, between ochel haro'ila and ochel she'eno ro'ila, what are we taking into account?
It's the mock occasions.
Right. Not only the food, but also the circumstances. We're taking into account that if the circumstances are unusual, that's going to turn the achila into an achilas keren, not from an achilas shein. Okay, that's no longer considered to be ro'ila. Who disagrees with Rashi head on? The Rashba, based on the girsa of Rabbeinu Chananel, the Rashba says, papikak, in other words, that's totally irrelevant. Circumstances have nothing to do with the maisa achila. The maisa achila is determined by the animal, by the eater, and by that which is being eaten. And namely, so what over here is the shalokadarka? That we're dealing over here not with normal bread, but we're dealing with crumbs, that the animal only eats bread, it doesn't eat crumbs. And that's the girsa over here. Hahi petucha, pas petucha betoch hamarak, that we're dealing with crumbs that are either that have been soaked with soup, that for a human being this would be a normal food. But for the animal, this is not the davar ha-ne'echa. Okay, beseder. So we have over here a lot of basic machlokos between the Rishonim. Now we're going to move to the next case and try and put some of these together. Amar Ilfa, Behema Birishus Harabim, Upashta Tzavara Va'achla Me'algave Chaverta, which is also where? Where is the Chaver standing? The Chaver of the Behema? Also in Rishus HaRabim, b'cholzo chayeves. I, Shein, is potter in Rishus HaRabim. My taima, gabe chaverta, kichotzer hanizak dami. That we view the back of an animal as chotzer hanizak. Okay, in other words, that we have within Rishus HaRabim, we can have that which we're going to define as a Rishus hanizak. Fine. Okay, so far so good. Then the Gemara continues. Lema Messiah le hayasa kupaso mufshelas la achorov. If we're dealing with an animal that has its food bag behind it, upashta tzavara v'achla mimena, and another animal came and ate from it, chayeves. So the Gemara says, no. You can't say that this is going to be a siyua for Ilfa, because kido amarava bikofetzes hachaname bikofetzes. That's a separate halacha of kofetzet. What that means, well, let's read it according to Rashi. What kiyuv is there in that case, according to Rashi?
Keren.
That's a case of keren. Ilfa was talking about shein. Shein, you're only chayav birshus hanizak, so he comes on to the fact that the back of an animal is birshus hanizak. And over here, this braisa is understood like Rava, it's a case of Karen. Karen's chayav even in rishus harabim. Vehecha itmar de Rava, ahadam rav oshia, behema birshus harabim hocha v'achla, ptura. Amda v'achla, chayeves. Maishna hocha de orchehu, amda name orchehu, amarava. Bikofetzes. In other words, that had it been just simply standing normally, again, within Rashi, we would have said that certainly you would have a ptur v'rishus harabim. But because this animal is doing a dance while he's eating, that's already considered to be keren, and that's mishuna, and that's what the braisa is talking about. And so we'll apply that. The same Rava will apply to the other Braisa as well, that whenever we have a Chiyuv B'Rishus HaRabim, we'll set it up as Kofetzen. Okay? So this is fine according to Rashi. Who else learns like Rashi?
Tosfos.
Tosfos. Let's look for a minute on Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Beis. We have over there a small Tosfos where the Gemara in one breath says, the Ilfa V'Rav Oshia. So Tosfos points out, Lav Mi Inyan Echad. Ilfa and Rav Oshia are talking about apples and oranges. Rav Oshia Mayri B'Kofetzes, the Hainu Kerem. Ilfa Mayri Agav Chaverta, the Chashiv Shein. They both happen to have Kiyuvim and Rishus HaRabim. Both of the cases are relatively similar, that we're dealing off of the back of an animal, out of the food sack of an animal, but in one of them you have a Chiyuv of Shein, and in the other you have a Chiyuv of Kerem. Okay? They just happen to be similar cases, but very different conceptually. Where do we have our issue? In which Rishon? Let's look together in the Rif on the bottom of the Chesam and Aleph in the normal pages. Yes?
Just a quick clarification question. The Kusa, that's going to end up being Kara, not like Rishon or Shein?
Excuse me?
When the animal does the dancing and the jumping, we're going to say that's Kara, not like Mishuna of Shein?
Mishuna of Shein is Kara. Mishunav Shein is Keret, namely that Shein is only Chayev in a situation of Urchei Davar Ro'ila, Achla Ksut O'Kelim, that's Mishunav, that's considered to be Keret. Comes along the Rif on the bottom line of the Afkasim and Aleph, Amar Ilfa, Behema Birshus Harabim Upashta Tzavara, V'Achla Me'Algav Chaverta Chayevis, Mai Taima, Algabe Chaverta Kachatzer Hanizak Dami. So far, so good. He's quoting Ilfa. But then the riff continues, Behu dekafta, that we have to understand this in the realm of Rava, hu dekafta. Avo amda lo, dahainu urche, de itmar, amar bioshia, behema virshus harabim hocha viochla petura, amda viochla chayevis. Amrina maishna hocha de urchehu, amda name urchehu, amar Rava be kofetzes. What in the world is going on over here? In other words, how can you combine apples and oranges? We just said that, you know, that's what Tosfos pointed out. Rav Oshia is expanding the concept of Rishus HaNizak, that's Shein. Rava is talking about Keren, and that's Chatzi Nezek. What is this combination? Look at the Baal Hamor. Amar Ilfa, Behema Rishus Haram Pashta Tzavara, Masha Pasak Boharav, Lo mistaber, elo kol agav behema chayeves ben kavtza ben amda haino de ilfa. That ilfa is defining for us rishus hanizak. If the animal is going to jump, it'll be chayev chatzin nezek. It's not going to jump, it'll be chayev nezek shalem. Ubirishus harabim belo gav behemta. But if you don't have the gav of the behema, then chayeves chatzin nezek bekofetzes haino de Rav Oshia. Lo pligia hadodi la mara macharda mara machada. They're apples and oranges, talking about two different cases. How does the Rif combine two different cases? It doesn't lend itself to being combined. Ilfa makes sense on its own. Kofetzes makes sense on its own. You can't combine them. In other words, it doesn't make sense to combine them. That doesn't teach us anything. We lose Ilfa in the process. Ilfa is dealing with the process of combining. Okay? That's the question. To answer the Rif, all Chachmei Svarad, and then we could add in also the Raivid, and from Provence, and also the Rabbeinu Chananel from the Gaonim, which would help us understand the Rif. Namely, everyone except for Rashi and Tosfos understands that the Rif makes 100% sense. How do they make sense out of the Rif? By very simply explaining that what is the realm of kofetzet? What does the kfitza do? When the animal is in Rishus HaRabin and it is jumping, what is that showing us?
Left, which is wrong.
In other words, what avnezik does kofetzet bring us into? Now, Rashi and Tosfos say Keren. Rashi and Tosfos say kofetzus is keren. According to the Ramban, according to the Rashba, what does kofetzus bring us into? Or what, let's say, ask you a little sharper. What's the chiyuv of kofetzet? How much do you pay in kofetzet? Nezek shalom. Okay. What are we talking about? So what kind of kofetzet? What does kofetzet create?
Shame.
Create shame. In other words, we're going to have a shame of nezek shalom via kofetzet. What does that mean? We'll explain in a minute, but simply both the Rashba and the Ramban are medayik in the fact that it says kofetzes chayeves. Chayeves implies nezik shalem. Masha hizika implies nezik shalem. We have no mention in the entire sugya of chatzi nezik. Chatzi nezik is mentioned by Rashi and Tosfos. The Gemara doesn't talk about chatzi nezik at all. And so what the Ramban and the Rashba do is they quote, we have a parallel Tosefta, doesn't mention Chatzi Nezek. We have a parallel Yerushalmi, doesn't mention Chatzi Nezek. In other words, that both Ilfa and Rav Oshia, Ilfa with the back of the animal, and Rav Oshia with the food bag that was turned to the back of the animal, they are both attempting to define what? What are they coming to define for us? What are they coming to point out in common? What do they both have in common? They're both trying to explain why you'd be chayav nezek shalem on shein. You're in the Rishus HaRabim. It turns into Rishus HaNizak. How does something turn into Rishus HaNizak? It can turn into Rishus HaNizak because the animal belongs to the Nizak. The back of the animal belongs to the Nizak. Who speaks about that? Ilfa. Or it can turn into just a Nizak, because in order to get to it, what do you have to do? You have to jump. In other words, namely, the animal normally in Rishus HaRabim can't reach it. It can only reach it if it jumps out of Rishus HaRabim, then it can reach that which it's reaching. If it has to jump to get to it, it means it's no longer Rishus HaRabim. That's Rishus HaNizak. Namely, both Ilfa and Rav Oshia and Rava, they're all in the same boat. They're all talking about animals in Rishus HaRabim. And that animal in Rishus HaRabim can be chayev for eating from Chotzer HaNizak. That we can view the back of an animal as a subjective Chotzer HaNizak. And we can view that which the animal has to jump in order to get to as being a subjective Chotzer HaNizak. It doesn't help us that we're in Rishus HaRabim because it can't be reached normally in Rishus HaRabim. Okay? That's the direction that both the Rif and the Ramban are going. Let's read it inside. Let's look at the Ramban. Amar HaKose, B'tchila Afare Shiyu Divi Rabbeinu HaGadol Kayomim. In other words, and once we're going to learn in this manner, then we can now understand the Rif. But let's hold off for a moment. Shemasha Amru B'Gemara Kofetzet Lo Le'inyan Chatzi Nezek Amru. She'ein Ze Shinui. In other words, what kind of Shinui do we have? We already pointed out by the Barcha, by the goat. What did the goat do on the top of Daf Chaf Hamed Aleph? It jumped up on a barrel to get to food. Did we say that's Chatzi Nezek?
No.
Because when the motivation is to get food, jumping is Orche. So here also, the animal sees food, it's jumping to get the food. Kevan de Orche Lemechal, Orche Nami Lemikpats. That's the language of the Gemara by the goat. We're applying it also now to the Kofetze. Mihu, Ilfa Savar, Ilfa went one step further. You don't necessarily have to jump. It's enough to stick your neck into the back of the animal. Normally, an animal in Rishus HaRabim doesn't eat. And on that, let the owner of the produce beware. Everyone knows that animals are walking rishus haravim. You shouldn't keep your food low where the animal can eat it as it's walking. And so over here, according to Ilfa, the animal left the rishus haravim to go to the back of another animal where normally animals don't eat, and that would be the shame. Rav Hoshea Savar, the Hakol Fetzet Lefi, shenistalka mirishus harabim legamri. That when the animal jumps, it's out of the rishus harabim. V'dam yelaman deshafkata l'rachava v'ocha v'tzidei rachava. Mayinach yimin if it goes up or it both goes to the side. When the animal eats over the fence, on that it's chayav, that's chatzar hanizak. Here the animal jumped up to eat, that's also rishus hanizak. Avol l'ocha b'lo kafitza, Petura, v'hainu daminin lekaman the ilfa v'oshia ika benayu. Namely, that don't one like Tosos that that's apples and oranges. Learn like the Ramban and the Rif that's apples and apples, where they're both giving two examples of how do you get to a chiyuv of shein in rishus harabim. Ilfa gave the example of the back of the animal, and Rav Oshia and Rava gave the example of jumping. V'ata ashuv l'hashiv abal ha'chibur hazeh. Let's, in other words, that we'll come back to in a minute to explain the riff. But if you go down to the next place where I made three dots, od matzati b'tosefta behem ha'yis ha'malechas k'darka b'rishus harabim shinsa v'achla mishalemes masha hizika. Ketzad shinsa v'ocho hayes hakupasim of shelas golachora b'rishus haram apashta parapia letocha v'ocho mishalemesh mashe hizika. Zohi abraisa shehemidu b'gemar b'kofetzet. That the shinsa is the kofetzet. U'mashe hizika, that's not chatzi nezek, that's nezek shalem. Ein lashon hazeh, ela nezek shalem. Shuv matzakti b'Yerushalmi. Also quotes mishalemesh nezek shalem in a case of kfitza, that there's no difference, etc., etc., and that's what the riff is talking about, etc. Okay, so then what is the riff? Okay, in other words, what we're pointing at is that both Rav Oshia and Ilfa are on the same page. They both want to find a shein, which is chayav nezek shalem, even though our animal, l'chora, is in the territory of rishus harabim, but it's leaving rishus harabim in order to eat. How does it leave? By going to the back of the animal, according to Ilfa, by jumping according to Rav Oshia. What's the combination over here of the riff? Aren't each of these alone enough?
He says no.
The riff says no.
It's
but why? You know, why would you need... Well, maybe before we get to... Okay, maybe... Okay, no, let's stick with the riff. We pointed out that Rishus Harabim could have two criteria. The p'tur b'rishus harabim could come from one of two places, either a svara or a xeres hakos. Okay, which of these two is ilfa solving?
The
xeres hakosuv. The xeres hakosuv, but ilfa points out ubir b'stei acher. Right. In other words, the moment you have the back of an animal, that is already steyacher. But what other issue do we have? Don't animals have rishus to go walking in rishus harabim and to eat as they're walking? So here we're dealing with an animal which is kofetzet, right? And that takes us out of the svara. Namely, we have the fact that it's chotzer hanizak in ownership takes us out of the xeres hakasuf, and the fact that it's not the urche of walking and eating, but kofetzes takes us out of the svara. So you put the two of them together. As we pointed out, the Rif Chachorah doesn't disagree with the Gzeres HaKosuv. He just gives a taima dekra. So over here he says, behu dekavtza, in order to be able to cover both angles, both aspects. Okay. Now, let's see whether this machlokas that we have over here between Rashi and Tosfos could link in with another machlokas that we have between Rashi and the Rashba. Here we have machlokas Rashi and Tosfos on one hand, and the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ravid, and the Rabbeinu Chananel on the other hand. What did Rashi learn about the table on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis? That when we're dealing with the world of Shein, what do we take into account? Not only that which is being eaten, but the context, the circumstances, right? So that's what Rashi is telling us over here. Kofetzet. Kofetzet, that what the animal is eating is one and the same. The circumstances of kofetzet turn it into meshune. What would the Rashba say about that? What are you talking about? In other words, kofetzet, that's, you know, that doesn't change the we don't look at the circumstances. Look at the Gemara of Barcha. Look at the goat. The goat jumped up in order to eat, and so therefore we don't, you know, and we view that as urche. So over here also, the animal is kofetzet in order to eat. That's also urche. What does the Rashba do with the raya of Rashi about the table?
He goes to
Rabbeinu Hanan. A different girsa. There's no such girsa. Okay, so we erase the girsa. So there, in other words, so according to the Rashba and according to Rabbeinu Hananel, circumstances do not create Mishuna. And therefore, Kofetzet is nothing to do with Mishuna. It's Kofetzet in order to eat. What does Rashi do with the Gemara of the goat? Don't we see over there that we don't take into account that circumstances don't make a difference?
No, but there could be different kinds of pizza. Oh. That one might be more normal than the back of the cat.
Or, in other words, again, what is Rashi says, we're dealing with an animal which is standing on standing or sitting on a table while eating. The Gemara of the Barcha deals with a goat which jumps onto a barrel in order to eat. What distinction could we make? That if the act of the animal, in terms of a timeline, where does the Mishuna come in?
Oh, before or during?
Nachon. If it's before, namely it's a stage, if we're dealing with a stage to get to the food, that's totally normal. But if we're talking about an animal sitting on a table while eating, that's totally abnormal. Animals don't sit on tables and eat, right? That's, you know, the in other words, and then we'd have to say that kofetzet would be what, if we wanted to, that, in other words, would be like a pre-stage. In other words, it's kofetzet in order to eat, as opposed to eating it while being kofetzet, no? And we want to compare it to the world of Barcha.
No, but that's because Rashi says that kofetzet is la barcha.
Sorry.
So that's like shulcha.
Rashi would have to say that kofetzet, in other words, if our distinction is correct, that while eating, that's mishune. But in order to eat, that is normal. So then the kofetzet of Rava and Rav Oshia would have to be while eating. That's a bit dachuk. But you could say it. And okay, in other words, but Rashi over here, again, the moment he begins with the Pesora, he is sort of locked into already the possibility of taking into account circumstances. And therefore, he's going to have to learn the Gemara Daf Chaf Amud Aleph in light of the Gemara on Daf Yud Testament base. The Rashba, Pumfakert, he says that the circumstances, you know, words are irrelevant. The circumstances are Urche. And then he can learn the case of the Barcha as being Urche and learn the case of the Kofetzes as being Urche. And everything fits in very, very nicely. Okay, so we have over here simply two worlds of shame. And then, in other words, within there are two worlds of Shein. We're going to have a totally different understanding of Ilfa and Rav Oshia according to Rashi and Tosfos, as opposed to everyone else. Right? Everyone else understands that the Kofetzet over here is a form of Shein, where there's Nezek Shalem. It's just a Heichetimtza of getting us out of the Rishus HaRabim. Within that Heichetimtza, it's possible to have Ilfa being separated from Rava, or it's possible to have Ilfa being joined with Rava. In other words, that Ilfa can be dealing with one aspect of the Ptur Bishus HaRabim, and Rava with another aspect of the Ptur Bishus HaRabim, and they can be combined. And that's what the Rashba and the run and the Ramban try to do. Yes.
Can you repeat how Rashi views the goat jumping in the barrel?
That if we're dealing with a jumping in order to get to food, that's considered to be urche, like the crowing of the rooster in order to get to the barzene. That's considered to be urche, right? That would be a regal, that would be urche. And so over here also, the kofetzet would bring us into the world of urche in order to be able to get to the food. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll continue with the world of shame next time with Boi Rabbi Zera. And we'll begin to move into the world in your session next time, already of Zenin and Zevo Chaser, the bottom of Daf Chafamadal. Bevakashem.